Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success. Well, 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey. We are into the second week of February.
That's right.
And, wait a minute. Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes, Super Bowl Sunday. Look, I'm going to tell you like
that
this.
That was weird, man.
Man, it wasn't weird. I ain't watched the game because I'm going to tell you this. I knew Tom Brady was going to win, and I don't even like Michigan.
Okay.
I do not like Michigan. I got a pair of shoes. Somebody gave me some Michigan Jordans.
Uh-huh.
They in my classroom right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to give them to a kid.
Show and tell.
I cannot. I will not.
It must be must be something with Michigan State fans, man.
Yeah,
they know
I will
they
not.
Cannot stand Michigan fans. What's up with that?
Man, I cannot. I will not. I got them locked in the storage. Like, I don't even want to look at them. The kids like, them fresh. I'm like, no, they not. They be green and white. But as when I seen Tom Brady, he's a good quarterback and everything. He's great. But it's just that Michigan. And I was like, he going to win. I'm like, how do you know? I was like, man, if he walk on the field, he going to win.
Well, right now he's being tabbed as the greatest ever.
Over my boy Joe Montana.
Over Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas, you name him, man. The guy is Brett Favre, whatever. This is what the media is saying after this performance Sunday night.
Man, it was miraculous.
Like, it was unreal. I mean, a lot of folks turned away from it. I talked to, went to bed, went to the store, you know, and came back, and these guys won the game, man. Devastating loss for Atlanta, no doubt.
The legend that this brother has is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody stole his jersey, all right, after the game.
Right? Tom Brady.
How somebody stole that jersey is beyond me.
A teammate, I would have stolen.
Okay, that could be because that's going to be worth a lot of money.
That was a good idea.
Okay, a lot of money. It's not a replica. This is the original jersey that was worn during the game of Super Bowl 51. How much do you want to pay for this jersey to have this? To hang in your man cave. You can talk to people about this jersey. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, man.
Hundreds of thousands. Don't wash it, nothing. Just hang it up.
No, you don't wash it. You got to leave the grass stains on it, whatever, that he wore off the field, the sweat stains. And it was quite an event, man. Quite an event. Yeah, world champions again, number 5.
So how many times has Atlanta been to the Super Bowl?
Twice. Yep.
Okay, with Anderson and them.
Yep, they went as the Dirty Birds the one time.
Yeah.
And they clearly outplayed New England.
Yeah, they did.
For 3.5 quarters. 3.5 quarters.
I think the coach is just strategizing for New England.
Well, evidently they felt that if they, you know, it's almost like the rope-a-dope with Ali.
Yeah. Get you too excited.
Let them punch themselves out.
Tired.
The defense got tired, man. And the worst thing that happened to them when they lost the coin toss at the start of the overtime.
Because it was sudden death.
Right. Sudden death. But you think about the amount of time that their team had been on, that defense had been on the field.
Along that whole quarter of the fourth.
For the most part, yeah.
That's right.
So if we could win the coin toss, at least we can get these guys a blow, even if we go in and get in 3 and out. So that didn't happen. They get a ball back to New England, who had just went down and scored, has all the momentum, and the defense is tired.
And they right back.
And they went from the 10-yard line, 90 yards.
And then just think about it.
Put it in the end zone.
It's a financial show, so I know people be betting.
Oh, betting. Do you know they got creamed, man? Folks got creamed in Vegas, man. Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, everybody was thinking the three, New England giving three, millions of dollars piled up on the Atlanta side of the betting ledger.
Because you can change your betting at the time. You can call in, change this, I want
to
bet this.
You can bet up to the halftime, you know, and they have all the future – what do they call them? The gimmick bets. You know, what is the coin toss going to be?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, who's going to score the first touchdown? Is it a pass or a run? All kind of crazy stuff you can bet on. But, yeah, a lot of money changed hands that day. And that's the way it is.
Man, that's
in the NFL. So, but, yeah, and then your Brombon last night, the other night, did you see?
Like he was in elementary school. He missed that layup, and then he hit a turnaround three. On the right side of the floor, spinning the wrong way off the glass.
Balling into the bench.
Because when he pivoted, he spun the wrong way. He spun like he was left-handed, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, opposite way.
Yeah, opposite way. Because he is a writing left hand, but he's a shooting right hand.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, he's a shooting basketball player right hand, but he's a righty. When he writes, he writes with his left hand. So he spun to the left, like he was going to shoot with his left. Off the glass, falling back, in the out of bounds.
Overtime. Another overtime game.
I am the greatest.
Yes, you got to give it to him.
Man, that's the player of the year. Like, you missed the layup right before that.
Right.
And then you got to get it back. Get it to me right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to post this guy up at the three-point line.
Awesome, man. That was out of sight. Yeah, I heard some guys on Nope Sports Talk this morning said, man, you know, that's probably one of the best basketball games they'd ever seen in their whole lives of watching basketball.
And so, well, it was because Washington is a good team, and they battled out, and Washington had their number.
They played them right to the end, man. And then LeBron fouled out. He fouled out, and they still won the game.
Still won the game.
Man, I love it.
Everything that went wrong went wrong. Yeah. And they still won. He don't need no playmakers. He hit three-pointers spinning the wrong way off the glass.
Right.
I just really think about the conversation they had with him and Charles Barkley talking about the playmaker situation. LeBron shouldn't have brought it up.
Nope.
But what I see is LeBron is forecasting for the next 3 years. He's like, if I can get a playmaker, I got 7 more years instead of 5.
Or
I can stretch it to 8. Mm-hmm. Let me get a playmaker right now so I don't have to handle the ball, so I don't have to hit all these jumpers. I could just sit in the post and boom.
Take some plays off.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, rest your legs. You know, because the guy has played in the NBA Finals. So if you playing in the NBA Finals.
The last four years.
Then that means you've played almost another.
Last five.
Right. You've played some seasons possibly more than other players have.
That's right.
And that wears on your body, man. That's
he's
a
been,
big guy.
Out of the last 7 years, he's been there 5 times.
Yeah. Up and down the floor every night, man. That wears on your body. No doubt. So, he needs to be thinking about preserving his body for longevity.
He just didn't have to voice it to the public.
Right. Yeah, guys got to understand, man, this media thing is, it can hurt you or it can help you.
And then he's part owner, so all you got to do is go to call my man and say, hey, look, man, I need a playmaker. Go get Wiggins back for me.
In confidence.
Go get Wiggins. Look, go get Wiggins back.
Go get Wiggins.
They got to be traded for our love. Go get Wiggins back. I need Wiggins because Wiggins will fit real good with them right now.
Mm-hmm. He would mature now.
Yeah, 19 points.
Play.
Ooh, yeah. That spelled J.R. Smith and Love, that one player.
Yeah, and it's, you know, unfortunately, it is about time for somebody to go.
That's right.
Okay, we got a big three, but other players are somewhat dispensable. And if we're looking at, you know, playing that team out in the West.
Yeah, who worth something, though? Like, the only person that's worth something, if you put Shefford and J.R. Smith together, you can get a combo guard.
Yeah.
The combo guard got to be able to play defense like a Shefford.
Yeah,
and you got to be able to shoot like JR. So it's like you're looking at it like, man, who can we get? Who can we get? Who out there that can do both?
That's what they pay the GMs for, to go out there to find those guys. Okay, but you just can't keep padding that payroll with these marginal guys that have those streaky nights. You know, some nights they own, some nights they're not. Got to have that consistency.
That's right. There was some other good news. Somebody said Deontay Davis going to the D League. That's good.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I've been hearing some rumor. So that's pretty good. So he gets some reps.
Yeah, he's 8 minutes. I think he's 8 minutes a game now, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot of time.
And that paycheck don't change, though.
No,
so you get more minutes
and
you get buckets.
No. It's just you're developing quicker. You've accelerated your timetable. Okay. So I wouldn't see that as a bad deal.
You're right.
Send him down to the D-League for a couple of months. Wouldn't hurt him.
No, it wouldn't hurt him at all. Then, but like you said, on all type of sports, even at the high school level, I know we got our – and I work with the Lady Reds, Coach Walker and everything. We played Mona Shores Friday. They handed us a pretty good one.
Oh, Jordan.
A nice can. Yeah, Jordan, she did a pretty good job. We lived to fight another day. That's what I say in that. But then in the capacity, we play an undefeated team Saturday, and we beat them.
How you like that?
And I think they were number one in Class B.
Class B.
I was like, hold up. You know, when it comes to girls basketball, Class B and Class A kind of don't matter.
Yeah, there's not much difference.
If you got 3 to 5 players that can hoop,
right?
You got a team in the girls' game.
Mm-hmm.
And they had about 7, and they were tough. Ypsilanti was tough, way tougher than what we did on Friday. But I guess our mindset was in a different place. And you know how it is in the game of basketball, anybody can lose the game any given night.
Yes,
so it depends on how you up for the game and what it was. But
and you know, maybe that ride was good therapy for them. You know, they had the opportunity to get out of Muskegon, take that 2-hour, 2.5-hour ride over.
But they came to us. They came to us.
Oh, we was at home game.
Yeah, last year we went to Ypsi.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
and it was tough last year. It was real tough last year. We was down by like 11.
Okay.
We were down by 11 in the fourth. We came back and beat them in that game. And then this game right here, it looked rough. It was tight all the way through. We went up by one in the fourth with like 4 minutes left, and then we did our thing after that. But it's like, man, going from one night Friday, then the next day you have a game, and you play better than you played in the game on Friday.
Go figure, man.
Yeah, and it's girls. I'm like, turn around. And then we played that week. We played 4 games in that week. We played a game Saturday. We had a game Tuesday. Then we had a game Friday. Then we had a game Saturday.
That's a lot of basketball for kids, man.
Yeah, we went Friday, Saturday.
NBA don't play them.
Tuesday. Look, we went that Friday. Then we went to East Lansing Saturday. Then we came back Tuesday. Then we went back Friday. Then we played Saturday.
That's five, man.
5 games in 7 days.
That's a lot of basketball. So I guess if you think about it, the more games they play, the better they get. How about that?
We playoff ready. That's what I said. I was trying to figure that out. So we're playoff ready.
Yeah.
Coach Walker know what he's doing. Our athletic department put us in the heat. I know Keith got like giving the best games to everybody. Oh, yeah. You say you can coach, right?
Okay. We're going to find out.
You know how to coach, don't you? They're like, yeah, we know how to coach.
Okay.
Yeah. Throw us in the fire. Throw in the lake every time.
Anybody we can fill that schedule up with, that's good. Man, that's what we want to do.
We want to play the best because we gotta feed our kids the right mentality going in when it's pressure games like that. So we really enjoy our scheduling, you know, the fight that the kids putting up and how they develop it in the toughest times. Because those teams that we played, the losses that we got, they got upperclassmen. We got lowerclassmen.
Right.
We're going to have a nice group coming back. Or we're going to have a nice group in the playoffs because they battle tested now.
That makes a difference. And in the playoffs, well, I know Muskegon boys are going to host the districts, which is great. You guys got a venue for the girls yet?
Kennewick Hills, I believe.
They're going to send you to Kennewick Hills?
Yep.
Okay.
I think so.
Wow, man. It would have been nice if we could have been local.
Or is Reese Puffer? I can't remember.
Well, I prefer to leave the paperwork again. Reese Puffer.
Yep. But we're here today. It's tax season.
Tax time, man.
Tax time, brother.
IRS.
That's right. IRS. Minimizing taxes. That's what my thing is. I like that. I got all my W-2s at home. I think I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 W-2s. Not W-2s. I got some 1099s. And one W-2.
Okay.
I got a statement from one of my cars I'm still paying on.
For my interest?
Yeah, interest I paid last year. I got my medical interest. I mean, not my medical, but I paid in medical.
Yep.
And some other things.
Those are deductions, man.
Yeah, those are deductions.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about those things tonight. I got a paying just as much tax as you required, itemizing or taking a standard deduction, or reducing your burden at tax time. So those three things that we can focus on and pull in. And let's see how we can help our audience out today, because I know I see a lot of people in the community. They say they listen to the show. They like the advice we're giving them.
Good.
And some of the people are putting it to the challenge. They're like, man, I'm coming out pretty good, Chance. I didn't know that. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, I go to H&R Block, I pay $50, and I get my W-2, I get my taxes done. I was like, that's it? He said, he just take it. Let me know I get a couple back, couple thousand, whatever. I say, that's it? He says, all they do, just the W-2. He said, you don't itemize, brother? He said, what's that?
Oh.
I said, how long have you been doing just the paper, man?
No,
taking $50, just paying somebody $50 and being happy and walking away with that.
Mm-mm. He's leaving money on the table.
Yeah, I said, you leaving money on the table, Tony. I was like, he said, what you talking about? I said, brother, you taking a standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
Only way I take a standard deduction if I was probably a college student.
Right.
And my parents weren't claiming me.
Yeah.
That's the only way I'll do it.
That's the only way, man.
That's the last time I did it.
Nope.
When I had my little what's that job? That work study job on campus.
Right.
I did the standard deduction. That's the last time I did it.
Yeah. No, you got to itemize.
Got to itemize.
Okay. And if you're not itemizing, that means, some things need to change.
That's right. Some things need to change.
It's going to help you reduce your taxable income as well as hopefully, if it's purchasing a home, that's going to give you some appreciation value in the home that you purchase.
That's right. And the way, like the audience probably looking at it, what do they mean by itemizing? What do they mean by standard deduction? Well, you have an allowance by the IRS to get a standard deduction. And I know you had pulled that number.
Yeah, $4,050.
Okay, and what I had on my chart is just rounded off to $5,000.
Okay.
So just look at, if you make a certain amount of income, they say you got the standard deduction that everybody take $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, that means you haven't itemized, you haven't saved no receipts or anything. You're like, I'm good with that $5,000. Now, you might see that back in income taxes. And then you got your allowances for kids and other things like that.
Right.
That's all you did.
Right, earned income credit.
Yep, that's it. Earned income credit, probably gas bill, something, electric, whatever you claiming. to get the credit there. Heat credit, right?
Yeah. Yep, yep. Yep.
So, but y'all don't think you can go any further because you just did the standard. Like, I'm done.
Well, you know, there's another one they miss out on is the property tax credit. Even if you rent.
Yes, even if you rent. Yes, okay. The space that you're in.
Right, because the landlord pays taxes, property taxes, and as you're paying rent, a portion of your rent goes towards the property tax.
Yes, it does.
So you can actually get a refund from the state of Michigan for the amount of taxes that is coming out of the rent that you pay.
I do everything.
That's another thing that people miss on is the property tax credit that you receive.
Yeah, so you guys, the standard deduction, then I had some things that you could possibly itemize, and just looking at it, just seeing, like, it broke down in, like you said, 5,000, 10,000 for a married couple, head of household, like, 7 to probably, like, $8,000 when you're looking at standard tax deductions. But it's itemized deductions when you can really break things down. Like, I got a list of things that I don't want to share with them, for they can just really see what they really can claim. If they really go itemize and they say the receipts, and I know you got one at home.
Oh, yeah.
We call this a file cabinet. I don't care how good technology get, I'm going to keep my file cabinet.
Paper trail.
My two-drawer file cabinet has been in my life since 1999.
Okay.
There are a lot of things have changed in my life, but the file cabinet and safe remain the same.
Yep. Because what you do is you just take those, you put them in boxes, and the new stuff that's coming in go into the file cabinet, the current stuff. But, you know, I think it's 7 years you probably want to save your IRS documents in case you ever audit it.
Yeah, that's right. I've been audited 3 times over a 15-year period. So
you above the average, man.
Yeah, they get me. I know. Because they seen what I was doing. I was doing it the right way, though. I'm glad I have the accountant and the people that I have. But here's some things that we can itemize.
Okay.
mortgage and investment interest.
Yep.
Real estate, like you mentioned, and property taxes. Mm-hmm. State and local income taxes. One I like is charitable donations.
Oh yeah.
And how they change those is you gotta have to get the actual paper if you're gonna donate money or material items.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to give you the fair market value of it. Like if you're a car, a coat, shoes, jewelry, shoes,
furniture. Yeah.
Things that you get donate, it's a certain number. You're not gonna get the allotment that you pay for it.
No.
But it's good to have it. But then that's also showing a loss as it age over the years.
Yeah, depreciation.
That's it. There you go. That's the word, depreciation. Medical expenses.
Yep, medical and dental.
That's right. I claim mine. Yep. My teeth cleaned up in here, the doctor.
Yep.
I go to chiropractor, get my massages, whatever I do, get my back adjusted, I'm on it. I told my wife, go to the doctor. I'm paying that in health insurance. You better go. I need that to happen. So miscellaneous deductions and other things. Some other things that we have that you can claim deductions on. Education expense.
Yep, if you take a class to improve your job skills.
That's right. You're right.
You'll be able to deduct those expenses, tuitions, books, supplies, lab fees, and certain transportation and travel costs may also be deducted.
You're exactly right. And like I look at that, like I did that when I got my master's from Cornerstone. I claimed all that.
Yeah. Okay.
Driving up to campus, my books.
Which is good.
The tuition, even though I got a scholarship. The interest was on that. They still billed you.
Mm-hmm.
And the scholarship covered, but it was interest on that. So that's the double kickback. So you got to look at things like that. You're like, hold up. They gave you the scholarship. They gave me the funding, yeah, but it still was interest when they charged you.
And you still had to attend the class.
And I still had to go to
get
class.
There. So there's a cost there. Associated.
That's right.
With doing that.
We're getting the class.
Yeah, and there's another one that people miss, too. It's the casualty, disaster, and theft losses.
Okay.
If you are a victim of a theft or a natural disaster, such as a flood, hurricane, tornado, earthquake this year, you may be able to deduct casualty, disaster, and theft losses relating to your home. Okay, your household items and your vehicles from your tax bill. So if you had a break-in and you were not reimbursed by your insurance company, okay, you can claim that as a loss if you itemize.
Yeah, I know one of them I have on here now, and I tell people, like I was talking about somebody I was talking to earlier, and they said they just had this company do it. And it was like they only paid him $50. I was like, well, you can claim the the custodial cost of someone preparing your taxes and expenses. So when you itemize, it's gonna be more. But if they're gonna get you more money back and you can claim the tax preparer charged you, that's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Why you wanna be cheap on the front end and you miss everything on the back end?
Yeah, we have to double. If you have to pay the guy $100 to do your taxes, but yet he's going to double your return, you're going to get more back, like you say, it's a win-win.
I ain't never paid $100. I wish I did pay $100.
That was an example.
Man, you paying it, that means you, that's straight up just doing a W-2 and just getting it in.
Yeah. Yeah, not really taking advantage of the tax laws.
That's right. We got to take advantage of the tax laws. They set up for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, like earn income credit.
That's right. Earn income credit. You talked about cost of continuing education required for employment. Cost of uniforms or equipment required for employment.
Yeah.
I got my shirt and tie on. I got my pants.
That's a uniform. You got to go to work right.
I buy suits.
Okay.
I buy some decent suits, too. I wear suits. So, I'm like, I'm buying me a suit.
Okay.
And buying some tax shoes. Deductible. Yeah, I need that.
It's your in your line of work.
That's right. Right. Another one that when I've learned and figured it out, the union.
Union dues.
Dues.
Union
professional dues and fees. Yeah. And for me, it's $1,100 a year.
Okay.
You know, they coming at us.
Yeah, yeah. I paid quite a bit, too, for my license that I have in continuing education.
That's right.
Classes you have to take. All yep. that.
We have to do that,
license
too.
License fees. Yeah.
Yep, I got to redo my license at the end of June. I already got the classwork done. I'm just going to do it. Probably that's recertified next month, but I get that money back. I mean, I get that'll lower my income.
Right, right, because so, that's an expense. You
that's
can't
right.
do the business unless you're certified and qualified. So this is what keep you qualified, so you get to claim it as an expense.
Yep, another one that I really like is the legal fees if they involve your job, tax, or investment. Working with in a nonprofit capacity, you're gonna need your attorney. Or your business, your LLC, you're going to need your attorney. You're going to talk to them. And attorneys are not cheap.
No.
And when you know you can claim those funds that you pay your attorney, it helps you think about, like, oh, it's necessary to have an attorney then.
Yeah, $150 an hour for a good one.
Yeah.
$150 an hour.
Yeah. So I know I spent some money this year with my attorney. And I got it all set up on Chase QuickPay when I paid him. He's a QuickPay client. I try to do that, try to keep everything itemized so I can be like, boom, here go the sheet, here go everybody I paid.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that I bought.
Your accountant loves
it's
him.
All my statement. Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah.
He's like, Chance, yours is always easy.
Right.
He said, I trained you good.
He's like, plug and play, man. You just bring it in, you plug the numbers in.
Yep.
And he can have your taxes.
Then he always asks me a series of questions after that. So mm-hmm. he always helps me out there and try to see where things are at. So it's just, ladies and gentlemen, it's always necessary to just do the due diligence and go be thorough.
Yeah.
It's like, it's your money. That's why I look at it.
It's your money.
It's your money. It's like.
It took it from you during the course of the
that's
year.
That's right. So if you're not claiming high exemptions, that's one thing you could do. And you can invest, you know, you can invest that. Or you can see that more money in your check. And then you can do something to build your business or something. So if you're not doing that and you just have zero exemptions and you're not doing itemization, man, you leave a lot of money on the table.
A lot of money, man. A lot of money. I mean, there's some financial planning that needs to take place. Okay. You can do that for a couple of years. But at some point in time, you got to realize, you know, even though, like you say, you're filing zero, they're taking
every
25% of your check
that's
on
right.
a weekly basis, and they're holding that money.
And you wait for a big return, and then now you late on some of your bills. You want to do some special things with your family. You got to tell them tax time.
Wait, I got to wait.
You got to wait. But there's certain things you could do during the year to adjust that and see that money in each paycheck so you can save for a rainy day, Christmas,
right.
things like that. And then when you itemize, you're going to see certain things that come back. I was talking to a guy a couple of weeks ago. He was a coach, like myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, man, I need some help with some things financially, some credit cards and things like that. And I start asking him, I say, what do you do? He said, I got this job here, then I'm a coach. I say, brother, I said, what you drive? He said, I got a van I take the kids for practice and this and this and that. He said, yeah, it's kind of hard sometimes financially. I say, what do you mean? He said, yeah, I got to spend money out of my pocket. I'm buying lunches. I'm taking kids
understood,
to games.
Understood.
I said, that sounds good. But I said, you telling me you don't itemize? He like, what you talking about? I said, how long you been coaching? He said, like 7 years. I said, you just been spending money out your pocket and waiting on a regular income tax? He said, what could I do? I said, them jerseys, the equipment you buy, the lunches you buy for the kids, the gas
food,
you put in your car, the mileage,
all that.
The phone calls you making for them families. I said, what you talking about? You put some new tires on your truck, on your van, some brakes on it. You putting people in there. That they're using a service for you provided by you. You're their coach. The equipment.
Yep. There's a cost.
I said, there's a cost to all that. So he said, I didn't think about it like that. I said, you better.
Mm-hmm.
You better. So there's a lot of things that we have to be enlightened about when it comes to looking at our money and really watch it like it's a kid. Like, I don't have no kids. My money is my kid. I'm trying to make my money behave. Sit down.
Be still.
Stay right here. You better grow.
Better not move.
I'm going to feed you this. You're going to grow. Give you some vitamins. We're going to work out. We're going to work you out finances. We need you to grow here. We need you to stretch. We need you to get big and fat and tall. So that's so if we talk to our kids, like we talk to our money, man, imagine.
Life would be different.
I see you. I'm watching you, boy. You know how you, you know how you be in church and you be bad. As little and your mama, you think your mama and them not watching
you.
You
that look.
And you straight right up. So imagine you could do that with your money by itemizing. Because now you watching your week to week. You watching your day-to-day spending. And then you're looking at your monthly budget and you're saying, oh, I did this much mileage. I got a friend, he Uber drives. I connected him with that. And he said, John, you get your statement? Because I do it in the summertime. So I just, free time, I just hanging out. And he said, I got mine. And he's talking about, he said, I got my mileage done. He said, I use my phone for the Uber, right?
Yes, you got to have a phone.
And all the minutes and the hours and the gas and all this. And he said, the clients, then somebody messed his carpet up one time. He had to pay for that. But then they reimbursed him. Just certain things like that, the wear and tear on his vehicle. I said, brother, he said, you get me right, John? I said, yeah. I said, you making money. You drive way more than me. I don't drive that much.
Okay.
I just do it because I be bored and I don't club and hang out no more. So I could just be on the scene, just riding around, making money off people that's drunk.
Yeah, right.
Getting them home safe. So
and potential clients as well.
That's right. Potential as clients. Because they look, I might have a business card in the back or something. And they're like, oh, would you do this? I didn't know. Like, so that's an idea and a concept. So you never know how you look at yourself financially. You want to look at your money like it's your kids and you want to look at them daily. Who don't look at their kids every day?
I do.
It's like looking at their report card. So it's like when you itemize, it's like looking at, because the standard deduction say, I'm going to do this one time. I'm good. Let me get my refund.
Yep. I'm good to go till next year. But what we're saying is tax preparation is a year-long process, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. There just comes a time in the year when we have to compile all the information and hand it off. But it's an ongoing process throughout the year to get the most out of your tax benefits. It's like you say, it's to make sure you track these spendings. So when it's time that you do your taxes, you get the biggest bang for your buck.
I know another thing is, I know you know this acronym, the AGI, the Adjusted Gross Income.
Oh, yeah, AGI.
That's the number in the end. That's
just it's adjusted.
Yes.
And it's a gross of your income.
Yeah. So after your deductions and everything, if you deduct it, that's that magical number.
Now, you pay taxes on.
That's what you pay taxes on. And here's for my people that's, I'm going to give you a free tidbit. People that's college graduates that still paying student loan debt, if you itemize, you can lower your payment on your student loan debt.
Say that again.
If you itemize, you can lower your payment on your student loan debt. Now, I should get paid. I think I should get an annuity or what's that called? When you somebody get, like, Chauncey getting a check every month for this?
Okay. Royalty.
Man, I need a royalty off that advice I just gave everybody. Because if you're doing standard deduction, let's take this, the typical person, Tony, that does a standard deduction. Let's say they make, let's put a salary out there, $40,000.
40 grand, okay.
Okay, and they say you're going to take the standard deduction of $5,000.
So now you have 35 for taxable income.
$35,000. This is a great, great situation. I know you know this stuff, and I'm in it, and I'm dealing with it. So, all right, we got $35,000 that I'm reporting to the IRS that I'm in. I'm done now.
That's it.
Okay. So I get a refund check. I'm good. Now it's time to pay my student loan debt back. I'm my first year, let's say put him as a teacher or assistant or whatever, secretary. Mm-hmm. That's around those numbers for first year teacher, 40 grand, right? In this county, 38,000, 40,000. Okay. So your $35,000 income is lowered. Now let's say he itemized. He itemized the tax deduction for a teacher's $350 for all your stuff in your classroom if you buy school materials. You got to
most of them do, man.
Yep. So $350, right? Say you coaching or you assistant coaching, you use your car. Okay. So you got that going on. Then you got some other things you use your cell phone, you calling parents, you're doing meetings, you know, you all out kind of teacher. You're just doing what you're supposed to do in your job.
Mm-hmm.
Now this person is able to deduct, let's go, $17,000.
Big chunk. Okay.
So now they go from
35 to 17. So you're around 18 now.
Yep. $23,000.
Taxable income.
So now you $12,000 less than the other person. So when you report your income and you did everything right.
Oh, yeah.
Everything you did right. I mean, I'm not saying you're cheating the system. It's not a cheat code. it's doing your due diligence and it's keeping up with all your documents. So that person at $23,000 and you at $35,000. Whose student loan going to be higher?
The one that's paying the most.
The one that's paying the most. Do they care that you do the standard deduction? Nope. Nope. The bottom line for them, Tony, mm-hmm. is to look at that AGI.
That's it. That's what is reported as income. And that's what's going to determine how much we want to extract from you for the coming year.
Every month. So then you're an educator. You probably go into you're in a loan forgiveness program where you only paying a certain amount. So it's a lower payment. But then imagine having an even lower payment. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to look at the reason why this system is set up. It's set up for people that's willing to do the homework.
That's right. The due diligence.
I don't know how many times I talk to people about like, you item out. No, I ain't got time to do all that, man. I got to do lesson plans. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to go here. I got to go there. Then they find themselves in a situation where they looking like, man, I'm paying $500. I'm like, you only make this much?
Right.
Mm-mm. You got to itemize.
Nope. Nope. And look for potential opportunities.
To do it.
To do it. Even That's if right. it's, you know, picking up old rental property somewhere.
That's right.
Okay. And you're going to do a fixer-upper. And all that stuff is tax deductible.
And what I think is people don't think that it's good to take a loss.
Well, it's okay to take a loss. Oh, no.
Calculated one, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a calculated loss. Just, like I say, the example is if you do purchase some rental property for income purposes, and through the course of the year, because it's a startup, you've invested money into it. You haven't been able to rent it out, so you haven't had any income, so everything has been an expenditure. You're going to show a loss.
You're
going to
show a loss. So now look, now we're showing this loss. So I got this list right here. It says maintaining good records. We talked about the file cabinet in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the things that go in the file cabinet during the course of the year. So say 2016, you're ready to file taxes. This is what you should have in there. Bank accounts, those bank statements. Brokerage accounts. That's something you know about. The year-end statements, right?
Oh, yeah.
Canceled checks related to home improvements or some things that you've done for your business. Tax-deductible items. Non-deductible IRA contributions, credit card statements, because you know you're going to be, some people use their credit card to pay their bills.
That's a good tool to track.
Income, paycheck stubs, royalty statements. I got check stubs from when I worked at Detroit Public Schools from 2002. I got every check because I wanted to make sure my Social Security show up.
Mm-hmm.
I save every check. When they gave us the printout, now it's on email, so I save right. all the emails in the file. So I got that. Investments. Statements, buy and sell contributions. I know I've bought some Nike stock, sold some. So I got all that statement right there, the money I made and lost. Receipts, major purchases, anything related to your home investments or investments. Retirement plans, year-end account statements. Tax returns, some supporting years and years previously, going back, like you said earlier, Tony, 7 years. And tax info, documentation for current year, anything checked on before or until tax return is filed. The tax will move on to the next year. So you got those things that will be in that file cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pay bills on time, you can print a confirmation statement and retain it in lieu of canceled checks. I pay my tithes through my bank, through QuickPay. So I got every tithe I gave to this organization, and they get a printed out check. So like when I could be like, oh, payee, the car, payee, cell phone, payee, this person, I can print it up, and it show every bill
annualized
I pay.
Statement. So you put every free... The whole year.
You like you pay this much in tithes? Yep. That's my charitable donation, 10% of my income. So then now I got my income lowering it already, another 10%, whatever it was. So you got to look at those things, and that's going to benefit the consumer, and it benefits me as a taxpayer. And that's what we have to get our audience to see that. It's like raising a kid. I don't have kids, so I guess my money is my child.
Okay.
You know?
Good analogy. Good analogy.
So you got to look at it the best way you possibly can. Well, I think we think we gave him some heavy nuggets today.
I hope so, man. I hope so that you know, we try to keep our audience well informed, and hopefully they can benefit from some of the information that we're sharing with them. Because at the end of the day, this is why we're here, is to help our listening audience keep their money and let it grow.
That's right. Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.